ton of audio coming your way in honor of our 440th show.
Welcome to the Dating Women Podcast, featuring the timeless coaching of Doc Love, the author of The System, better known as The Dating Dictionary, the book that has positively changed the lives of thousands around the world. Find out more at DocLove.com and enjoy your free podcast. A new fresh show is delivered to you every Saturday. Now, here is your host, Jeff Stevens.
440 shows. Wow. Here comes more great dating audio from the guy that understood human nature and dating. Doc Love interviewed thousands of women, asking them why they chose one man versus another. The answers Doc Love got are taught to you here. What Doc learned from women is taught to you weekly. He was relevant in 85, 2005, and will be in 2125. This is one of the classic episodes from one of Doc's award-winning radio shows, and it comes to you courtesy of the Doc Love Club, DocLoveClub.com. If you want more from Doc, visit DocLove.com, as that is the jumping-off point for more free content via his blog, YouTube channel, and there is even a contest there. This full show comes to you commercial free. Sit back, listen, and enjoy. And don't forget to get your free 7-day dating course at doclove.com/course. Let's lead off with segment one, May 2nd, 2008. The enthusiasm you heard from Doc on the air is exactly what I got off the air every single time, every single interaction for the entire time I knew Doc. He wasn't putting on an act while he was on the air. He was always enthusiastic and passionate about his work. Carrie Underwood in The Celebrity File, that's next. Doc sees an inconsistency here, and he'll explain. Next up, the Nevada governor's separation, and Doc finds something humorous about this. Paul Newman practiced the system in a movie? Doc breaks it down. Guys don't realize how stupid women think they are at times. And when I talked to Doc privately, he would say it was not him hammering women, but that the average guy out there, due to his ego, would not see how bad off he actually was in terms of dating and relationship knowledge. Everybody loves Raymond. Doc had one word for the main character there. Not a complimentary word, as you'll find out in this segment.
Brainwashing, 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 and more brainwashing. That will be on the show today. And also, Paul Newman, in a movie, practices the system. But first of all, the originator of the system right here, Doc Love. What's up, buddy?
Hey, man, how you doing? We're going to have a great show today. And I want to tell you new listeners out there that what we're here to do is take all these things in our culture that hurts you in relationships, explain it to you so you won't go out and do the wrong things and give her the reason to get rid of you. Because if you don't give her any reasons to get rid of you, she can't get rid of you. This is very, very complex.
Another thing, too, is a lot of guys will call at the end of the show. I've noticed a trend, Doc, of guys calling at the end of the show, and then really they only have a minute or two for you to break down their problems. So, guys, we take calls all show long, so don't be afraid to use that toll-free number at 877-474-3302. And Doc's Celebrity File, Miss Carrie Underwood leads us off today.
Yeah, Carrie Underwood, I want you to listen to this, okay? This is in the San Diego Tribune, my paper here in San Diego. American Idol Carrie Underwood, who last month broke up with Gossip Girl's Chase Crawford, said she knows heartbreak, okay? Now think about this. She drops him, and she's somehow implying that he dropped her, or why is she talking about the pain you suffer when you get dumped when she was the dumper? When the girl's interest level goes to 49, 39, 29, and she gets rid of you, well, the point is this, his interest level usually is 85 to 100. So she says she knows pain, but she should have been more specific in saying, I know how much I hurt this guy when I dropped him, and I hope he doesn't take it personally. What do you say, Jeff?
Well, there's a dynamic that goes on that guys are sitting there pining away, and especially if she got out first, which obviously means that her interest level was much lower. There is a dynamic that says that a woman will stay from 49 to 39 to build up that resentment so that she has no doubt when she finally leaves. She doesn't care about you. I mean, you could be sitting there with multiple compound fractures laying in the street, and she'll be with her new boyfriend, and she'll step over your body because to give him a Kleenex because he's got the sniffles. That's what guys don't understand, is they're sitting there pining away.
Yeah, when you're out with a girl, it was like she went out with you 20 years ago. You guys, she got rid of you 2 weeks ago. In her mind, it's 20 years ago. And that's part of your education here. And I'm not saying they're wrong for this. I'm just saying they're built nothing like a male. And that's what you guys have to get.
And that's the reality factor.
Amen, brother.
Governor of Nevada, Doc.
Okay, you ready for some laughs?
I'm always ready for some laughs.
Nevada governor separates from wife. That's not the time to laugh, though. Get ready. Carson City. Governor Jim Gibbons has moved out of the governor's mansion and returned to his Reno home as he and his wife, I love this, sort out marital problems. What does that mean? Stop throwing dishes at each other? Jim Denton, a chief political consultant for Gibbons, wrote Friday in an email that Jim Gibbons moved out. Now wait a minute. I want to ask you a question here. This is really technical. This is a tough question, so clear your head, Jeff. When somebody moves out of the governor's office, it shouldn't be the governor, should it? I mean, out of the mansion? Now if the wife were the governor, then she'd kick the old man out. But she kicked the guy out of his mansion. And nobody talks about it.
They call it the governor's mansion for a reason.
Yeah, and that's Jim Gibbons, not Don Gibbons. But anyway, she continues to live in the governor's mansion, according to her attorney. The governor's office acknowledged in February that the more than 21-year marriage was struggling. Now, think of these two terms. Was struggling, sort out marital problems. What's his wife's interest level?
If she wants him out of the house, out of the governor's mansion,
yeah.
I'm not thinking it's that high. Well, Paul Newman practicing the system in a movie. This is pretty interesting when you're telling me this about off
the air. Yeah, I'm what they call a movie mama. I love movies. So I have 21 movie channels in my home. And what's great about them, you start them, you watch them 20, 30 minutes, and boom, I get rid of it. Half of them are lousy, a lot of these B-movies. But I found one of these B-movies with, it's called Where the Money Is, and I want you guys with Mastery 1, 2, or 3, I want you to go out and rent this movie, because after it's all done, you're going to say, Paul Newman does the system. He rips off, he's got to be 70 or 75 of this, and he rips off this young guy's girlfriend. And you just see him slowly, the way he handles himself. This guy is so cool, and he has that great voice. Meanwhile, the girl's boyfriend, he's not practicing patience or self-control. Two-thirds of control, which is one-third of the system, of your male strength qualities, which you're supposed to have. And just slowly, you see this woman turn, and I'm watching this movie, and it was all over, and I thought, you know, this thing never made it to the theaters, but this was a very enjoyable movie. And then it hit me. Paul Newman must have read my book, or at least the guy that wrote the script.
You know, we've talked about movies before, like I'm thinking about 300, where we were talking about, guys should become Spartans. We've recommended books on this show. But to me, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Doc, but to me, this is the first movie we've ever recommended that kind of is on par with the Cary Grant movies, because Cary Grant is the ultimate guy that practices the system, the ultimate gentleman. But you're saying this Paul Newman character is a guy that practiced the system in his movie, and I think outside of the Cary Grant movies, we've never made this kind of recommendation.
Yeah, Newman is cool in this, whereas I mentioned to you that the other cool guy, of course, is Steve McQueen, but Cary Grant was the charmer, and these are certain key elements that you should have being a Spartan. You're going to be a salesman, you're going to be a comedian, you're going to be charming. You're gonna know about public relations. You're know to put on a smile when somebody's, trying to hit on your girlfriend. And nothing's gonna bother you because you have this beautiful smile on the outside. Inside, you wanna hire a hitman. But on the outside, just a real nice, classy gentleman. That's the thing.
Got a quick question for you here, Doc, before we get into some brainwashing. This kinda sparked my mind when you were talking about, the Spartan aspect of the system, because talk about how guys have to be willing to not be with a woman necessarily. I'm just thinking back to our letter a couple weeks ago with Tim, where he said that he had to go through 40 women before he finally found the one.
And he never gave up. That was, that's what's great. What, and one third of control is disciplined. You're going to be disciplined. I was reading an article about the Army Rangers, and it said, one guy asked his sergeant, why do you guys make it so tough? He says, because it has to be tough to make you tough, because if you're not tough, you're not going to survive. And that's the same thing in relationships today. Like I said a little while ago, guys don't realize women as a group think men are dogs, idiots. This is the, they'll say in their little chatter, of course, when they have a little group of four or five and they're sitting around drinking their wine and, oh, did I tell you what, Joan's husband did the other day? Da, 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 da. What a dunce. Ha, 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 ha. Well, let's talk about Mary's husband now. And they go around and around and they have a field day just beating up husbands and boyfriends. Meanwhile, what are you doing? You're talking about football, basketball, and business. They're in a different world, my friends. I'm telling you.
Well, you see it in the major media. You see it in the commercials and the shows. I mean, and we've talked about this on the show before. Everybody loves Raymond. I mean, I'd like to rename the show Everybody Loves a Dunce, because that guy just completely got rolled over every week. I mean, God bless him. He wrote it to, you know, Ray Romano himself, the man, wrote it to $100 million or whatever he's worth. And you know Ray Romano's not like that in his personal life. But his character was a complete and total wimp to that woman on that show.
Doofus, full-blown doofus. And if they, and it's funny, why don't we have some dumb women on television? They're all sharp, but guys, idiots.
Segment 2, May 2nd, 2008. Carolyn Hacks, Doc disagrees with her that you can hang in there until she finally gives you a chance. And people seem to think that since marriages happen, that it validates that position. But Doc tells us why, even if you're married, it doesn't mean she has high interest level. By the way, we talk home phone number here. For you newer Doc Love Club members, we used to ask for the home phone number, but now that cell phones are a thing and landlines are not a thing anymore, it's just phone number, and Doc had modified that some years back. Another Carolyn Hacks column rounds out the segment. Doc doesn't agree that the woman that writes her should be confrontational with the guy she's dating, and Doc has a different solution.
Well, welcome back to the program that just very well may save you tens of thousands of dollars someday in a messy divorce. It is the Doc Love Show, and the major media, the stuff that they're trying to shove down your throat, we are going to take it before it gets there. And brainwashing, Doc, what do we got today?
My favorite, Carol Hacks. Here we go. Question. So I think everyone knows one of those couples who always tells a story of how the first few times the guy asked her out, she said no. But somewhere along the line, somehow she changed her mind, and now they're happier and heck and happily married, okay? And
yeah,
then we go into the answer, of course. And what's the word? Convoluted? Is that the right word? This girl is the toughest to understand, but this is one of her paragraphs. The main thing I would look for is conversational chemistry. You got chemistry, you don't have chemistry. It's not conversational chemistry. It's physical attraction test. And then she goes on, if you get along easily, if you naturally have things to talk about, and if you look forward to each other's company, then I would say you can hold on a little longer before you give up. Women know in 45 seconds to a minute and a half if you're going to give them the, if they're going to give you the home phone number, and this is going to go a date or two. They know this automatically. But getting it back to the original question, because a lot of guys think, well, I asked her out 9 times, now we're happily married. I'm going to tell you about this, because in the book, The Dating Dictionary, which you guys call the system, there's a segment in there, and it says 2 out of 5 women that get married do not have interest level between 51 and 100. And that applies to this answer. That's the answer. That a bunch of women say, well, with time, I will fall in love with him. You know, he loves me so much. I hate working. I got 2 kids by a prior divorce. This guy has a good income and a beautiful house and a pool and a Lexus. And I'm tired of working and trying. And he's so good to me. So I just know with time, my feelings are going to change. Wrong, wrong, never, ever, it'll never happen. And that's the true answer to this. What do you think, Jeff?
I think that is the biggest load of crap that is being sold in our
society. Hey, keep it
society.
Clean. Keep it clean now. Come on.
But really, Doc, it's just amazing to me that people actually swallow this, especially guys swallow this, because number one, you have to have a certain amount of pride to follow the system. You have to say to yourself, you know what? I am nobody's second best. I don't want to ask a girl out. If a girl can't have that light in her eyes when she is giving me her home phone number, and if she can't be just, I'm the guy that she wants to see, I'm the guy that she has no doubt about, if that can't happen, then it is not worth it. I would be darned if I want to spend the rest of my life looking at a girl that's looking out the window going, oh, I wish Billy had been available. Jeff is okay, but.
Very good. Very good. Very well put. Yeah, you know, here you are. Your interest level's 88, and hers is 45. And if you're lucky, maybe it's 55 to 60, but it just can't get higher because it's just not there with this girl. That's what guys don't realize. And we got another one here from here, Carol Hacks. And I want you to listen. This girl asks a question, okay? And then Carol Hacks comes back and she says, you got to learn to say no to this guy. You got to stand up for your rights. You can't let this guy steamroll over you. Where in reality, it's not like that at all. It turns out, I'm going to make this a little shorter, but he makes a lot of money and she doesn't make any money. So what they do is she pays for every other date. She orders a hamburger and he has filet mignon. Well, Carol Hacks is telling her, you got to tell this guy, look, we got to go to a cheaper place or all this. And I'm thinking, rather than stand up to this guy because he makes a lot of money and you don't make any money, why don't you cook one meal at home? It'll cost you $18. And the other two nights, he pays for both meals. Rather than stand up and go into confrontational mode and say, you know, we got to rearrange all this, why don't you change the arrangement? Why don't you negotiate to find a way so there is no confrontation? That's what we should be looking for, a way to work this out peaceably, not have an argument over the fact that he makes 10 times what I do.
Segment 3, May 2nd, 2008, Men's Health and Jimmy the Bartender. His girlfriend's brothers are giving him the cold shoulder. Jimmy the Bartender gives advice that Doc doesn't agree with. He's got a better solution to win the brothers over. You know, Doc liked Men's Health. He really did. For vitamins, workouts, etc. He would always rave privately about the magazine, how good it was for that stuff, but not for love coaching. Another Jimmy the Bartender. Should he warn him about her? No, says Doc. First caller of the segment. What are the rules for dating an ex-girlfriend's best friend? A rare from-the-field story that Doc shares about himself, and he uses it to coach us. Great stuff. Doc Love Mail is next, and it's a You Changed My Life letter. The price of a few dates versus the system. Dear Abby, brainwashing is next. Doc says every guy will relate to this, and you'll find out why.
Doc, let's get into some more brainwashing.
Yeah. My favorite magazine, Men's Health. And Jimmy the Bartender, who writes on women, work, and other stuff that screws up men's lives. Anyway, listen to this. Question. My girlfriend's brothers are giving me the serious cold shoulder. What's the best way to win them over? So he says, take them out for some beers or go play a round of golf with them. These guys hate your guts. They're not going to go anywhere with you. Why are you telling them to do that? What you're going to do is, every time you're with your girlfriend, you're going to build the brothers up what great guys they are. So when they start bad-mouthing you to her, you're going to say, well, Johnny likes you. He's always talking about how great you are. Then what you're going to do, since the brothers don't like you, you're going to ask the parents out to dinner. You're going to take the girlfriend and the parents. And then when the brothers start beating you up, the parents are going to say, well, we think he's a real nice guy. That's how you're going to do it. Wrong advice. If you mix drinks like you give advice, you'd be out of work if I owned the restaurant, I'll tell you that. And then here's the other one. My friend is getting ready to pop the question to a girl he's been dating for 6 months. He says he wants my honest opinion. I think it's a mistake. Do I tell him? So he says, yeah, tell him. Here your brother's deeply in love with this guy. He's going to marry this girl in spite of what you say. You should just say, hey, man, I think she's a classy broad. And I'm telling you something, man, you guys are going to be happier in heck. Because then after the divorce is over, and then you guys are going to be buddy-buddy again. But then when it's over, when you badmouth his wife, he's not going to be your best friend anymore. Let me tell you something. Guys are goofy about their women. Guys are ultra, ultra sensitive about their women. They're not going to tell you this on the outside, but way down in their stomach they are. So anytime your buddy wants to marry somebody, and you know this woman is from, well, I can't say where she's from because this is a family show, but this is the biggest mistake your buddy's ever going to make. You say, hey, man, I wish you'd, I'd be honored to be the best man because I think she's a hell of a woman. And then when the smoke clears, the divorce is over, and he says, are you sure you didn't see it? I said, no, man, I thought she was a good girl just like you. And now you guys are buddies since fifth grade, and guess what? She's long gone.
Let's go to Braden in Toronto. Braden, welcome to the Doc Love Show. What's your question, man?
Hey, Doc. I was just wondering, what are the rules for dating an ex-girlfriend's best friend?
An ex-girlfriend's
best friend?
No rules. Go after her.
No issue whatsoever?
None.
Wow.
No, just whatever you do, when she asks you what happened, just say, she's a great girl, but it just didn't work out. That's
it. Keep it simple.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And short. The longer the story, the bigger a chance for a lie. That's the way women perceive things. So you say, she's a great girl, but it didn't work out. Well, tell me some more about it. That's all there is to say. Let's talk about us now.
All right. Yeah, thanks a lot. I really appreciate that.
You got it.
All right. Have a good one.
Looks like Braden's all excited. He's gonna make a call pretty soon. I think that girl's gonna get a call.
Let me tell you something. I met this girl at a party. I took her out four or five times. And I lived in, West LA, next to UCLA. This girl lived in Torrance. So, I called her up and I asked her out twice and she didn't want to go out. So this is what I was working on, you know, how many times you call. This is probably 1982, 81. And, next weekend, I go down to my jacuzzi. I lived in this building called Club California. It had 210 units. So a lot of people, you know, you meet at the pool or the jacuzzi. And I go down there and she's there with some guy who lives in my building. This guy had met her. I remember now when I was in the jacuzzi, I went upstairs to go to the bathroom and this guy bird dogged me. Well, I was probably out anyway. But the point is this, she wasn't embarrassed. She didn't feel funny. She had zero interest level in me, and she had plus interest level in this guy. So when this caller just called in, all's fair in love and war, as my cousin General Love says.
She wouldn't care if she went after your best friend.
It wouldn't enter her mind.
Mm-mm.
It wouldn't even be, well, should I do this? Is this immoral or unethical? Forget all that. Why? Guys, the number one rule is it's all interest level.
Doc, I've got a email from DocLove@WSRadio.com. It's a great You Changed My Life letter. Guy writes, Dear Doc, I wanted to thank you once again. This is a follow-up You Changed My Life letter. I bought the system well over a year ago, maybe two. I'm the kind of guy who, when I learn a great revolutionary new philosophy, embraces it passionately and wholeheartedly. I'm 34, and I met a nice 27-year-old lady in church. I was minding my own business, and she came up and talked to me, touched me, and demonstrated high interest level. I asked for her phone number, which she gave me. I eventually called and asked her out. I did what she advised, remained a challenge, dressed nicely, cleaned my car, was a gentleman, kept my hands to myself, went for the kiss, which she eagerly accepted, all that. We've been on over 10 dates, and things are going great. Doc, she had high interest level when we met, but your valuable principles and the confidence the system gives me helped me drive it through the roof. I've been able to weed out the bad girls, and I seem to have found a good one. By the way, guys, and Doc isn't paying me a penny for this, please do yourself a favor and order the system. It's the best money you'll ever spend. You have no idea how much time and money you'll save. As Doc says, if you just avoid a few bad dates, you've got that much more than your money's worth, let alone if it keeps you out of divorce court in the future. Thanks so much again, Doc. Your forever loyal student, Ben.
Man, am I high. I can't believe it. I am so high right now, and I didn't break any federal laws. This is what I live for, you guys. These letters like this. This is so, I trained this guy. I was the coach. I'm the Pat Riley of love. I tell you, I love letters like that, Jeff.
And the thing about it, too, is that the point that he makes, by the way, you can get the system, which a lot of guys, as you said earlier, call it the dating dictionary. You can get that at DocLove.com. The point is, for $99, and we've said this so many times on the show, that how much are you spending for the average date today? I mean, gas prices are for premium. They're hanging around $4 in some places. You go to pick up the girl. You're burning 3 or 4 gallons of gas. You take her out. You take her to dinner. You do this. You do that. Pretty soon, you got 60, 70 bucks in. You do that 2 or 3 times with 2 or 3 girls, and then you're wondering, well, where did she go? You know, how much money do you have in where if you would just invest $99, you would have a guidepost as to where her interest level is and whether or not you should be wasting your time, money, and effort on her?
If you spend money on women and get rid of them before they get rid of you, it's not a waste of money because you're learning in the process. And by the fact you got rid of her, I know you've memorized my materials. And what you're doing is you're practicing for the good one.
Well, we got some more brainwashing, Doc.
Dear Abby, This letter, every guy's going to relate to out there. I have been dating a lovely woman for the past 7 months. I'm 30 and Bethany is 29. She's a teacher and I work in healthcare. We met online, then talked on the phone and eventually decided to meet. I don't like this. What do you mean eventually decided? Right there, I know the guy has no backbone. Abby, I was attracted to her from the moment I saw her. Over the past months, I have bonded with Bethany's family and have fallen in love with her. I would love to make her my wife. You notice he never mentions what Bethany does for him. She never mentions how much Bethany likes him. All he concerns about is how he feels about her and the family. 2 nights ago, we went out to dinner, and the whole time, something felt off. Let me tell you guys, you're with a girl, and she gets kind of spacey or moody. It seems like she's not with you for that 30 to 40 seconds. That's interest level dropping, 66, 65, 64. It's going on right in front of you. And you would say, what's wrong? Oh, nothing, nothing. She kind of snaps out of it. I was just thinking about something else. When she gets into that mode, her interest level's in the 60s, and it's going down. 2 nights ago, we went out for dinner, and the whole time something felt off to me. When we returned to her place, she informed me out of the blue meant that he thought her interest level was 95 because his was 85. That's what out of the blue. She said that she wants to take a break. Take a break means I would never marry you if all 3 billion men on the earth died tomorrow and you were the last guy. You wouldn't have a chance with me. That's what break means in womanese. She said she feels rushed into a new relationship without having closure from her previous one. Oh, she dropped the guy who she was still in love with, and so she's been wasting your time. Isn't that great? Before I became too upset, I got up the couch and left. We haven't talked since. Oh, you expect her to call you? A girl with 40% interest level can't pick the phone up. Now, if the girl had 51% interest level, she could pick the phone up. But that's what they do, guys. Low interest level, they don't call. High interest level, they do call. This stuff is very complex, I'm telling you. This is very hard to get. Then it goes on to answer. This is you ready, Jeff? Here comes the answer. Dear Abby, here's the answer. Frankly, the person to reach out to should be Bethany, but at least give her 6 weeks before you call. You mean 60 years, not 6 weeks.
She's going to say that.
Yeah, call her when she's 89. You're not calling her in six weeks. 6 weeks. If you don't talk to your girlfriend within 12 to 14 days, she doesn't pick that phone up, you're out. Out. It's over.
You know what, actually, Doc, to tell you the truth, I mean, and you, like you said on the system all the time, you've got to be a Spartan. Tell me, a woman says to you, I think we need a break, and I don't have closure from my last relationship. I mean, wouldn't you just say that, you know, wouldn't you just toss the number right there?
Oh, yeah, but I'd say to her, though, I said, you know something? I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking about that guy you got rid of. He was really a great guy. And, you know, I think we rushed into this. And you know something? I think you should go back to him. And if it works out, if it doesn't, but I want you to know that I'll be here waiting for you. That's what you say on the outside. On the inside, you say, I can't wait to get home to drop this into the commode and go flush. But on the outside, I'm a real nice guy.
Segment 4, May 2nd, 2008, Hollywood movies and brainwashing. This takes the entire segment.
Okay, more brainwashing, Doc. What do we got next?
Well, we got two brain. We're gonna call this segment "Brainwashing in the Hollywood Movies." The first two have to do with brainwashing, and the third one actually has to go with, as you mentioned about, you know, there aren't that many movies where the systems are being used, but the third letter actually is. So let's make this quick because he's a little on the long side. Hey, Doc, I just watched the movie Meet the Robinsons. It's a great movie, but there's one small flaw that you might find interesting. Near the end of the movie, when our main character, Lewis, is about to return to the past, Franny, Lewis's future wife, advises him to remember that she is always right, even when she is wrong. And Cornelius, adult Lewis, just nods and says she's right. Now, doesn't that sound like mild brainwashing to the kids who watch the movie? To me, it seemed like a hint that Lewis, the man, should grow up to be a Wimpus Americanus. With that said, it is apparent that the Walt Disney Company, the company for whom I happen to work, is on the brainwashing binge as well. I would never have picked this up without the system. Hear that, Jeff? I would never have picked this up without the system, and I would like to hear if you agree with this. I do. Thank you again for all you do. Your loyal student, David from California. Number two movie. Hi, Doc. I saw some more Hollywood brainwashing in the movie Must Love Dogs when I watched it on DVD the other day. On the second date, the recently divorced main character, played by John Cusack, says to his date in dinner, but I'm paraphrasing, "Let's cut out the small talk. Let's talk about who we really are. Who am I? Who are you?" He then talks about the woman that he loved who broke his heart. He then encourages her to open up and gets her to talk about the recent painful divorce as well. So much for keeping it light and funny and staying away from heavy subjects. However, in the movie, the serious sharing worked. The movie then cuts to a scene with them kissing each other passionately at one of their homes later that night. Then in a scene even later that night, he asked if he can spend the night with her, and she said he would be happy just to look at her all night. Talk about showing your interest level and putting a woman on a pedestal and worshiping her. So there you are, Doc. More brainwashing. Your loyal student in Atlanta, Jim. And then the third and last one. Hi, Doc. I'm watching the movie Becoming Jane on DVD the other night and couldn't help noticing that the leading romantic men use system principles to win over the women. The film is about the life of novelist Jane Austen, who grew up in 18th century England. Jane is completely uninterested in the nephew of a rich widow in her village until the widow implies that Jane isn't good enough for him. Suddenly, she tells everyone she would love to join him at the next town dance. Sounds like a challenge to me. The guy that Jane eventually falls for is a nice-looking man with a reputation from London. When Jane is asked to read some of her work to her sister's engagement party, the man from London yawns and tells a friend later, Jane overhears it, that her work is juvenile. He never misses a chance to put her in her place after that. He tells her at the next stand that she thinks too much of herself. He also makes himself scarce at the end of his stay, thereby she starts looking around for him. Results, she falls head over heels in love with a guy, gives up everything, and runs away from him. Doc, I was thinking of you throughout the whole movie. Your loyal student, Bill from Memphis. Three completely different guys, different parts of the country, got the system, memorized it, watched three different movies, and look at what these students saw, Jeff.
Well, the first two are pretty obvious. I mean, not obvious to the general public because that's good things the system students picked out. But, what they had talked about is not a lot to break down. I mean, it's like, you know, men are getting bashed in the first one and the guy is a wimp in the second one. The third one is quite interesting because I would contend in the third one that only worked because Jane Austen had high interest level in the guy and he was able to work challenge on her because she was willing to look at all that stuff is maybe kind of joking or that she had to chase him or the guy had some mystery because she had that interest level. If the woman doesn't have that interest level to begin with, then all that stuff doesn't work. That's why guys think it's because of what they say. Now, you can say stuff to hurt yourself, but a lot of guys don't realize that stuff that, when you become a challenge, that you're actually helping yourself by doing that, and it's not so much what you say or the jokes or whatever, it's just the fact that the woman is really into you and you're a mystery to her.
If you can give me 51% interest level, you're just barely hanging in there, and if you do and all say all the right things over a period of time, you can move it up into the 90s. It's going to be harder, but you've got to have that teeny bit of chemistry, otherwise nothing starts.
Well, Doc, thanks a lot, man. Good
show. Hey, thanks to you, guy. I appreciate it. Hey, great show, man. A lot of great information.
Segment one now, May 9th, 2008. Maria Shriver leads off the celebrity file with a statement about Arnold Schwarzenegger. Now, this marriage didn't turn out well, but what got her to marry him was relevant. Jessica Simpson didn't care about football when she was with her singer boyfriend. When she started dating a football player, different story. Doc comments next on how interest level affects how women feel about your traits. Then, a You Changed My Life letter. He says he could have avoided two nasty divorces had he had the system. And then we go to a caller, a college guy. He wants to know about a woman in his class. He's new to the system and talks about hanging out. As you can imagine, Doc jumped all over this because he's wasting his time, as you'll find out.
Pretty soon, Tony Romo and Jessica Simpson. But first of all, the man himself, Doc Love. What's up, Doc?
Hey, how you doing, man? I got some good stuff today. We're going to really go deep on this brainwashing. So I want you guys, when we do this, to really clear your heads. Because the problem is this, is you guys don't realize it, but every day, you and the women you're trying to, you know, keep as a keeper, they keep reading this stuff, and it gets into their heads, and it comes up, and all of a sudden you guys are arguing over nothing, has nothing to do with your relationship, and all of a sudden you guys are lowering each other's interest level. We don't want that to happen. We want harmony in this relationship. We don't want conflict, but we'll get into that in a little second.
Yeah, we got the governor's wife, Doc.
Maria Shriver. She's in Time Magazine. They have some questions for her. And the last question, what is your favorite Arnold movie? She answers, True Lies or The Twins. This is who Arnold is. He's funny. That's what caught my attention. Believe it or not, about him, that he was irreverent, he's funny, and he's free-spirited. I hadn't met anybody like that. And if I may add, so I married him.
Well, humor is one of the key components of the dating dance as taught in the system.
That's right. When you guys are going to be a Spartan, you're going to be a half salesman, you're going to be half comedian. Because when she's pressing you, we're going to teach you how to use humor to get around things, to be able to maneuver. Because, again, we don't want conflict. And now let's go on to the Dallas Cowboys. For a woman who used to complain when ex-husband Nick Lachey watched ESPN, Jessica Simpson has come a long way. On the weekend, April 25th, the singer joined quarterback Tony Romo, 28, and a group of NFL players in Las Vegas. She was watching the NFL draft on TV. She also seemed like a veteran member of the Dallas Cowboys Wives Club, who many were also there. Now listen to this, Jeff. When she's married to Nick Lachey, is that all you care about is those stupid football games? What about me? Pay attention to me. But now she's with Tony Romo, and all of a sudden she's seen the light. So a lot of guys would say, well, this girl's goofy. No, 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 guys. It's her interest level in the guy. When her interest level in Lachey was 95, she loved football. When it was 55, she complained about ESPN. Now her interest level is in a quarterback, a football player. What do you say, Jeff?
I just say that, you know, maybe Nick was sitting there, gee, what's wrong, honey? Oh, okay, well, I'll turn off ESPN for you when, like you said, it's the interest level. And I don't know if Nick actually said that, but there are guys in America, I dare say, that are doing that sort of thing, thinking that it's them and they have to make changes when it's really just the wife's interest level.
Exactly. That's what this show's about, is to get that woman's interest level in the 90s. But the hard part, you guys, and I know you guys can get women to fall in love with you, is to keep them in love with you. That's the tough part. So it's not football. I'm going out with Jeff, let's say, and I'm a girl, all right? And Jeff, I really like him because he's cool and calm and he's not loud. Well, when the interest level goes to 55, Jeff is dull. It reverses. So the thing that Jeff has, I don't like anymore, but that doesn't depend on it. It depends on my feelings toward Jeff. This is what guys don't get about interest level. And the number one rule, interest level cuts everything.
Now we got the "You Changed My Life" letter, Doc. I always love those.
Yeah, it says, "Doc, if I'd only had your system 30 years ago, I could have avoided two nasty divorces and all the heart stompings throughout my life." I love this. I love the word nasty, Jeff, and I love the words heart stomping. Do those words sound like harmony to you? I got the dating.
Not really.
I got the dating dictionary about 3 years ago and intuitively knew your teachings were correct. It's never been too late to change and try to undo the brainwashing, but it sure hasn't been easy. Best of luck with your show and keep up the good work. You are a modern day King Leonidas, your loyal student, Dallas. And who's King Leonidas? Well, to you guys that haven't seen the movie 300, please go get it. Best movie I've seen in the last 5 years. In fact, all the critics ripped the heck out of it. And last year in 2007, as far as top grossing movies, it came out eighth out of all the movies. And I want to tell you something about this movie. These men were noble. They were honest. They were loyal. They were courageous. They were manly men. And I think that's why the critics didn't like it. Anyway, it's a true story of how a Spartan king, Leonidas, led an extremely small army of Greek soldiers, 300, and they held off a Persian army. And they end up wiping out 20,000 guys before they went down. The actual heroism of those who stood and ultimately died with Leonidas helped shape the course of Western civilization, allowing the Greek city-states time to organize an army which repelled the Persians.
Yeah, and the thing about it too, Doc, is what I like about that "You Changed My Life" letter is the fact that the guy actually put all the brainwashing and all the stuff aside throughout his whole life. And he said, you know what, I'm going to make the change. I'm going to do what it takes to be a Spartan. And it's not easy because you have to, sometimes with this stuff, you have to spend a lot of time alone because you're not with the right girl. I'm thinking back to a couple weeks ago with the "Tim, You Changed My Life" letter. He said, hey, I went through 40 first dates before I found the right girl. And he was able to make a positive change in his life, and he said it wasn't too late. And, you know, it looks like he's on the road to at least not get suckered in by a woman that is going to do him wrong, as he refers to heart stomp him.
See, the problem is, you guys, you meet the bad woman and you go along with it and you're going to be miserable the rest of your life. Then you meet the good woman, but you don't know how to keep her happy. Then she walks with you. So either way, you're going to suffer. That's why you need Jeff and I.
Well, let's go to a caller. We've got Matthew from Santa Rosa. Matthew, welcome to the Doc Love Show. And what's your question?
Hey, Doc. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Just really quickly, I've just started reading your articles and stuff online, and I completely agree and see the wisdom in those. So thank you for that. But my question is this. There's this girl. I'm in college right now, and there's this girl in my class. And, you know, the whole year we've just been kind of, you know, talking, flirting, whatever. And, so just recently, you know, I'd asked her to, you know, to get together. But I wanted to be a challenge, you know, and not come on too strong. And so we ended up hanging out, went over to her place.
No, you don't want to do that. You want to take her out on a formal date.
Okay.
In the future, no hanging out. We're going on a formal date. And first you're going to ask for the home phone number, then you're going to wait a week, and then you're going to call her up, and you're going to ask her out on a date. But go ahead with your story. I'm just correcting you. And this this is covered in the system at doclove.com when you get ready to get the book.
Okay. But my situation is kind of unique because she's graduating in a couple weeks, and she's moving. And so I know that, you know, I want to raise her interest level, and I want to be a challenge, yet time, you know, isn't on my side. I don't have a lot of time to
make her stay in your city and write off her family in the other state.
I'm sorry.
Is that what you're saying?
No.
She goes back to Texas. How are you going to see her?
Yeah, she's moving about 4 hours away. I'm in California, but and so I understand that realistically, you know, a relationship probably isn't going to work out, but.
Definitely it's not going to work out. This is all a waste of time.
Is it all a waste? Okay.
Yeah, it's all a waste of time. No, you go out with her, you can practice on her, you know, right, while you're reading the dating dictionary, you know, the system.
Yeah.
You know, that's
right.
Fine. You can practice with her, but don't get involved with her. This happens. I get these letters all the time. Guy falls in love for 9 months, then he goes to Oregon and she goes to Florida. Nobody thinks, well, who's going to move?
Right.
Who's going to give up their family and business and all that and your roots? You know, that's why I tell you guys, 25 to 35 miles, after that it gets tough. It just gets tougher and tougher and tougher. That's the thing.
And so before she goes, though, I want to, I mean, not, you know, just for that, but I do want to, I mean, I want to get together with her. I want to hook up with her, but I just don't, you know, there's not, I'm worried about time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, well, the thing is this, you can't rush love, okay?
Yeah.
So if you go out with her one or two more times and she goes back home, she goes back home.
Okay.
And if she goes back home with 90% interest level, now what are you going to do with it?
Okay.
You're going to drive the 4 hours. You do that one weekend, and then she'll do it every other weekend, and then finally it'll just be too much on both of you, or all of a sudden 2 months go by, and neither one of you can go visit each other. And then she says, well, I kind of met this guy who happens to live within 25 and 35 miles from me.
Right.
So I look ahead. I'm a chess player. And I'm looking ahead 65 to 70 moves. Most guys, when it comes to love, are playing checkers. And they're looking two or three moves ahead. And this thing is dead in the water from the beginning.
Okay.
So get somebody local. And more importantly, to find out that and a lot of other things that you might be doing wrong, unbeknownst to yourself, is to go to DocLove.com and get that book and memorize it. Because when the next one comes along and, you know, you live in Northern California and she lives in Calistoga and you're in Santa Rosa and you say, oh man, that's only 35 miles away. That's all right. There's a chance on this.
Yeah.
But 4 hours, you're dead in the water. You're talking airplanes by driving. You're talking 250 miles. It's extremely tough. The odds are 1 in 100.
Okay.
So the point is this. The system's an efficiency system. I don't want you to get your heart broken nor waste time. Thank you for calling, Matthew.
You know, and that's the bottom line too, Doc. It's cutting your odds. It's making you the best. It's giving you the best chance to find the girl that you really want to be with.
That's it. The point is this. You can't get in the car and go 240 miles for a Starbucks date. You got to visit her on weekends. She doesn't get weekends. It kills challenge. And Monday through Friday, she's going to the bars with her girlfriends.
Segment 3, May 9th, 2008. Starting out with a caller, when should she be asking you about being exclusive? How do you make sure she's not talking to exes before committing? Much more here. Great early dating strategy. Why you can't ask her to be exclusive? Time Magazine and a book review on financial infidelity. What did Doc say about that? Next up, an observation letter from Doc's student. He talks about a woman that is enamored with a guy in spite of her having a boyfriend. Again, I said low integrity, and it was actually just integrity. You either have it or you don't. Maid of Honor movie review. How does this relate to the system when it comes to telling women that you love them?
First, let's go to Vancouver and see what Neil wants. Neil, what's your question, buddy? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Doc. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
You said before that the woman should ask the guy if they're going to be exclusive first.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how long that normally takes.
Anywhere. Now this is a generalization. Anywhere to 6 to 10 dates, she should be saying something. Are you seeing anybody else? Which means she wants to be exclusive and womanese.
Right.
But that's usually it. Now if you have a girl with real low interest level, 40. You have the book. Yeah, so you know what 40 to 49 is. They're just with you, but, you know, you're not really in. And she'll just go along with this just to date. That's why we're doing the kiss at the doorstep. Because usually women don't want to kiss guys, even though they just spent $85 on Chateaubriand. That's the thing. So tell me how your individual case works, what you're getting at here.
It was more of a general case, kind of looking back at past.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's usually usually around 6 to 10 dates.
Okay. What about the big L word?
She'll be saying, I love you. She'll be saying that probably at the end of 2 months, but you're not going to say anything back. When she says, I love you, and you say, I know you do, honey. And she says, well, do you love me? And you say, yeah, I'm working on it. And then change the subject and go to something else.
Like Han Solo.
Yeah, that's what you got to do.
Okay.
Anything else?
What about if she, like, talks about her ex-boyfriends or, you know, sexual...
Well, that's just it. When she asks you to be exclusive with her, you just say, by the way, do you talk to any of your ex-husbands or boyfriends? Oh, yeah, I emailed two of them, and the third one I talked to an hour a week. And I said, well, let's just leave it the way it is.
Gotcha.
Now, I just told her indirectly to get rid of them. I would never tell her, get rid of those three guys if you want to go with me. It's always a flank shot. Again, I learned this from, I'm studying generals right now, including Leonidas of the Spartans, and that's what they did. They always looked at an angle because they were outnumbered. You had to be smarter than the other general and use the environment, you know, the geography, the topography of the land and all that.
Right.
But we're going to clear that. So she says, yeah, I'll tell you what. Yeah, if that bothers you, I said, no, it doesn't bother me. It just, I want a clear field here. And she says, okay, I'll tell these three guys that, you know, you're my new boyfriend and, please not contact me anymore. So you're going to be my boyfriend now? And I said, well, as soon as you talk to him, you get back to me. And then next week she gets back to you. Guess what? She respects you now.
Right.
And nobody talks about respect relationships. And unless she respects you, she can't have interest level. Because interest level sits on respect. Respect is the foundation. You got this empire state building, and down here you're on quicksand? It's not going to stay up long.
Okay.
Okay, buddy?
Thanks much.
Thank you for calling.
Toll-free lines are open now, 877-474-3302. If you are across the pond, so to speak, 858-678-8958. Follow-up to that call, Doc. I'm wondering, there's probably some guys in the audience right now that are saying, wait a minute, I've been out with a girl like 7 or 8 times. We have a really good rhythm. We talk about everything. Well, what's the big deal if I just ask her if we're going to be exclusive? Because I know that my dad did that back in the day.
Because what happens is, when you ask her, you don't know if it's the right time. What if it's too
gotcha.
Soon? What if it actually takes 3 more dates for her to decide that she wants you as the boyfriend? You don't know what it is. But if she asks you, you know it's the right time. So the key to women is patience. That's why you're going to wait. And all the other guys she's been out with would be asking her. And she's saying, well, why doesn't this guy ask me to be my boy? Doesn't ask me to be her, to be his girlfriend. While she's saying this, I say she's raising interest level because you're a challenge.
Guy's sitting here thinking, and he might be thinking, well, geez, so what if she turns me down for being exclusive? I mean, she'll come around eventually. I mean, that's some of the thinking we're dealing with. What say you to that, Doc?
Well, she'll come around eventually. Wait a minute. You got turned down. Your posture is dropped in this relationship. You overrated her interest level. We got other problems. And now she's going to think about this. You put a negative onus. You muddied the waters. I don't want anything negative coming up in this relationship. And I don't want her anytime having to say to you, no, we're not going to do that. And that's what she says. No, you're not going to be my boyfriend. Now you're wondering, well, why? Why isn't? But that's not going to happen if she asks you. It's going to be much clearer to everybody if you don't do that. So you guys
have
to be disciplined.
And you don't want to give her the rejection card.
Why would I give her the rejection card?
No, that's what I said. You don't want to give her the rejection card, and when you give up your power.
Oh yeah, exactly.
That.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I missed what you were saying. Yeah, exactly. I don't want her to say, no, I don't want to go with you. Now, how comfortable are you going to be for the rest of that date? How comfortable are you going to be on the next date? You're going to be uncomfortable as heck. You're not even going to be yourself. You're not going to show confidence. You don't know where this girl's interest level is. But you forced her hand, and it wasn't time yet. Whereas when she says, you know, I'd like you to be my boyfriend, they will say, well, how many ex-boyfriends do you talk to and email, communicate with? Not that many, just 6.
Let's talk about Miss Andrea Sachs from Time Magazine.
Time Magazine
book reviewer.
Yeah. She critiques 3 books here, and there's a book out called Financial Infidelity by Bonnie Weil, W-E-I-L, and this is about financial infidelity: lying to your partner about how much you spend, secretly playing the stock market, keeping a little money on the side that she doesn't know about or you don't know about, or piling up debts can be just as damaging to a relationship as adultery. Wrong. Almost as bad as adultery. Nothing is as bad as adultery. Absolutely nothing. But the point is this, down below, this lady explains in the book that she wrote how you go to your husband, let's say when, you know, something's off or all this, and you don't go in, hey, you jerk, How come you're stealing this money? How come when we got married, you told me you wouldn't run up the credit card, you big jerk? No, we're not going to do that because that's not loving. That's judgmental. And that is putting the guy, you know, against the wall with his hair coming up in the back of his neck. So what this girl, Bonnie Wheel, says in Financial Infidelity, she says, for example, here's her suggestion on how a workaholic spouse should confront a partner about secret credit card bills. Quote, "You must be so stressed out and lonely. I know my working late nights and on weekends contributed to this big time. I want to help you with a plan for the credit card debt that's accumulated probably from your weariness. Now, how can we work this out?" So this is what she's doing. She's saying in the book, go hand in hand. Don't come out swinging with your husband. And this woman, Andrea Sachs, says about this comment, her proposed conversations don't sound real. Words like this will probably never be spoken. And I said, correct. But the point is this, that means you don't do it. So this is a feminist critic putting down a woman who wants to be loving to her husband who runs up the bills on the credit cards because the action's already done. And she's telling this woman, attack your husband.
Well, we got some more brainwashing, right, Doc?
Yeah, but first though, I want a little, I got a little observation, letter.
Oh, okay.
This is from Roger. Hi, Doc. Last week in one of my classes, this one woman was speaking in a joking manner about one of the teachers at school whom she found very attractive. She spoke of this person as though he were Brad Pitt and jokingly thought about following him out to the parking lot and kidnapping him. This is despite the fact that she has a boyfriend. Applying the system to this, I just wonder what her interest level is in him. You know, I wonder if the boyfriend is having that gut-level feeling that something is wrong, but is rationalizing, well, at least she's with me. Thanks, Roger. Thank you very much.
In addition to having probably low interest level in the current boyfriend, she obviously has no class at all in talking about another guy openly that she wants to be with when she's with another guy.
She wants to kidnap this teacher. Oh, I love my boyfriend. We're getting married next week. By the way, isn't that a cute butt on that teacher out there walking to his car? I mean, come on. I want to marry a woman like that. Hey, I don't expect my wife or girlfriend not to find other men attractive. But when she starts verbalizing about kidnapping, her interest level in that guy has to be pretty low.
And you know what? And why would you want her anyway with that low integrity that she obviously has? Because if
there's
she
another
gets
thing. Where's loyalty and trust?
Not with her for apparently.
That's right. Then we got a movie review here. There's a movie out called Maid of Honor, M-A-D-E. And it says it gives you the rating, what's it about, the kid attractive factor, parents' advisory, is there drugs, sex, or language in there, is there violence in there, you know. And then good lesson, bad lesson. Being reluctant to say I love you to people you love is not a sign of maturity. I disagree. I tell my best friend I love, Dennis, I love you. I tell Marty I love him. I tell Jeff I love him. I tell my mom and my dad and my aunt and my brother and my sister and my dog and my cat and the fish in my aquarium. But I don't tell the girl that I'm romantically involved with because it's anti-challenge. So another half-truth written by some guy, and you just read this article, it says, oh, if I don't say I love you to my girlfriend in the eighth grade, I'm immature and I want to be a mature man, so I'm going to go say I love you. And you get hit on this 10 or 15 times a day from all your magazines, all your radio, all your advertising. Every time you pick up something to read, you're getting bombarded by this 5, 6, 10 times a day for 30 years, and you wonder why you're a wimp.
And when you're saying I love you too much, especially to a woman in a romantic setting, the words lose their impact. They become just words. And you're big on actions, Doc. You're both big on actions on reading whether a woman's into you or not, and you're big on actions as far as how you're going to treat her. You're going to show her respect, affection, and romance, and that's how you're going to show love as opposed to just mouthing the words like a parrot.
When I train a guy, his girlfriend will go sit down with the other girlfriends, and she'll be bragging to those other girlfriends how well she's treated, because she says, I'm dating Cary Grant Jr. He treats me great. He doesn't be all, he's not mushy or anything, but when it comes to treating me like a princess, he's the greatest. And that's what counts, how you treat me. Because how many guys argue with their wives and then say, I love you, just to kiss up, make up, or get past it? And women see right through it.
Next week, DWP 441 will give you some advice on how to treat her. And according to Doc, it's brainwashing. Follow it at your peril. And if you agreed with Doc when listening to this whole show and you don't have the system at doclove.com/system, what are you waiting for?
You've been listening to the Dating Women Podcast. Thanks so much for checking out this episode. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. Catch us every week on Saturday for a new episode. Until next time, this has been the Dating Women Podcast.